Today's scripture comes from the 10th chapter of John, verses 11 through 18. And these are Jesus' words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, that's better. Before I dive in, I wanted to add one name. Steve Carey should be sitting over there. And he's had a very rough week. If it wasn't one thing, it's another. Now he has a couple cracked ribs that are near the problem that he has with his back, and it is just kind of a snowball for Steve, and we pray for quick healing for him. This idea of Jesus as a good shepherd is something that we have less exposure to and less experience with, and sometimes we might have a contact. We go to a petting zoo, and lambs are so sweet and so cute. But we don't really understand what it means when he calls us sheep and he calls us his shepherd, because we don't have an understanding of what that would be like. So I found a short video that might help explain it to you. And there's no audio, but I think it'll be pretty obvious just by what you see. Shepherd puts his strap on, has to pull the sheep out because the sheep doesn't know how to get out by himself. That is what sheep do. Sheep are not that bright. Sheep are not that obedient. You will pull the sheep out, sheep will jump right back in. It's almost like the sheep don't know what's good for them, because they don't. That's why, you know, the 23rd Psalm says, he leads me into green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know what a sheep looks like, don't you? If a sheep went into rough waters, what happens when you put a sheep in water? It blows up. All that wool takes on water, and the sheep drowns. But the sheep's too stupid to know that. It sees water, it goes in. So it has to be led to the still water. It has to be led to the green pasture. It has to be pulled out. It needs to be kept in. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, I'm not that stupid. But the world isn't that simple either. The world tries to fool you into thinking that you can take care of yourself, that you can find the things that will make you happy in the world that we live in. And it's not content to ask you once, let you make your choice and move on. No, it wants to tempt you every single day for the rest of your life. It wants to fool you. It wants to get you to trade great for good, then good for pretty good, then pretty good for all right. Then you see how the trail goes, don't you? It's the same thing that happens to sheep, is the sheep will eat themselves lost. They'll go to the edge of the green pasture and they'll say, well, there's a little bit of grass over there and a little bit of grass over there, until they're down the rocky face and stuck in a crevice. They don't set out to do that. It's just where they end up. Well, that's the problem. We have this understanding that we can know better and we can do better. And we know what it is that we want, and we know what it is that will make us happy. I often make an illustration. It's like going to the hospital and saying you're going to have a surgery. And the surgeon comes in and you say, okay, doc, this is how it's going to work. I'm not going to go under anesthetic because I want to be able to show you what to do and how to do it, because I can feel what needs to be done. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? That's what the doctor is trained to do. That's what the doctor does every day, day after day. They're the ones that understand. They're the ones that have the training. They're the ones that can do it. And we push them aside? No. I've always wondered what would happen if I was rich, because it's never going to happen, so I have to wonder. But it looks interesting to contemplate. There's a guy, he owns the Washington Redskins. His name is Dan Snyder. And there's a reason that the Washington Redskins always stink. It's because Dan Snyder thinks he's the best general manager in the NFL, despite the fact that he has no skill, no experience, and no knowledge of what he's doing. But he does have several billion dollars, so he can buy the team and do whatever he wants. Well, until he decides he wants to win and he hires someone who knows what they're doing, he's going to continually lose. I'm just glad that he's old enough that he doesn't try to be quarterback, because I think if he's young enough, he would try to suit up and go do that too. This idea that we know better than the people that know sounds absurd when we do it on this level, but if I was to tell you, the God who created you, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who is Alpha and Omega, he is, let's see, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient, he's everywhere, he's omnipresent, he's all-knowing, he's all-seeing, he's not bound by time, but we know better than he does. No, we don't. And that's the problem. We think of freedom as something that we're free to do anything we want. And God says, I want to give you the freedom to be what you were made to be. And that's a very different thing. Freedom from versus freedom to. Trust is a hard thing to build, but as you build it, great things happen. I don't know if any of you have gone to any of these workplace encounters or if you've ever been to camp, but there's these things called trust falls. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to put your heels together, you're supposed to cross your arms over, you're supposed to lean back, and you're supposed to fall into the arms of the people behind you. There's a commercial where they do it where someone says, oh, look, and everybody turns around and the person falls on the ground. And that is the kind of trust we have in this world. Trust is hard-earned, because in the back of our mind, we don't trust at all. We trust ourselves. The world continues to trick us, and one of my favorite tricks, I'm old and I'm a sports guy, but the Detroit Pistons won a world championship when they were called the Bad Boys, and there was a player for the Detroit Pistons, his name was Rick Mahorn, and he was the power forward, he was a big, big man, but what a lot of people didn't know is he was not only big, he was incredibly strong, and he used to work out with 850 pounds deadlifting, making his legs stronger and stronger and stronger. And in basketball, what you would do is you would come down and you'd get near the basket and you'd say, give me the ball. But what would happen when Rick Mahorn was there is you'd say, give me the ball, and all of a sudden you feel this push from behind. And he would push you all the way away from the basket. So what you would have to do is you would have to put your legs down strong and push back against him and hold your spot. And there'd be kind of a tug of war. You're pushing once against the other. And then at the last minute, Rick Mahorn would go, and the player would fall down. And Rick Mahorn would say, I guess we all fall down. And he'd take the ball and he'd go the other way. We think at the last minute, God is going to pull and step back and let us fall. Because we haven't trust fallen enough times that we believe God will be there. That trust is something we have to practice. We have to continue to trust. And it is hard. When I was in camp, we had a kid from Milford. His name was Scott Harrison. And we went to choir camp together. And this guy was fearless. We would do the trust falls. He'd just lock it up, cross over, and drop. And we would start catching him here, and catching him here, and then catching him here. And then we just put a pillow on the ground. And he didn't know we weren't going to catch him. He just fell right on the pillow. Never reached out. Never bent. His trust was absolute. And we were stunned. In our Bible study this week, we were looking at Mark 6. And the disciples are sent out two by two. I don't know if you, how much of the Bible you've read or what you remember, but when the Hebrews go out and they go to set up a tabernacle, they are given a to-do list that's like this long. You will get all these things. You will do it all this way. Leviticus is full of this stuff. So when Jesus sends out the disciples, he says, take nothing. Take a staff, no cloak. Go into the town, stay with whoever will take you in. And it's amazing what they were able to do, but I don't think it was about spreading the gospel. I don't think it was about healing. It was about building trust in God. If these disciples were going to carry on the work of the gospel after Jesus left, they were going to have to learn to trust in God. And they did. When I was a kid, I had this hymn that I hated with a passion. And every time they would sing it, I would just grip my teeth and fidget back and forth while they sang it. And it was called Trust and Obey. Can you think of anything that a 6-year-old, 8-year-old boy would hate more than trust and obey? Those are dirty words. Well, I treated it like that for almost 25 years of my life. Obeying was something to be avoided as much as possible, to be avoided at all costs. And yet the words ring true. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. No, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to ever prepare. I'm not saying that you shouldn't save for retirement, that you shouldn't change the oil in your car, that you shouldn't make preparations when you're going to take a trip. But I think what is true in our lives of discipleship is that we constantly wait to be fully prepared before we try to do anything for God. And I don't think we can do it that way. Augustine said that one of the early church fathers and writers wrote that if we're truly relying on God, we're leaning on him so hard that if he wasn't there, we'd just fall down. To be honest, I can occasionally do that, but it's not something that comes naturally and something that I do every day. But it's a goal every day. What I pray for you as we close this time together is that it won't take you 25 years to get over resenting, trusting, and obeying, and learning that it is a wonderful way to be happy. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come before you today, help us to understand what this good shepherd and the sheep thing means. That the shepherd really does know better than the sheep what the sheep need. And that we need your guidance. And that if we follow you, our lives will be so much better. And your kingdom will be proclaimed. Help us to lean on you. Help us to build that trust. And help us to understand that in your love, we can become what we were always intended to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.